If you'd please take your Bibles and turn me to Luke chapter 1. I won't keep you very long tonight. I just wanted to take a few moments to open God's Word and to continue some thoughts relative to Zacharias and specifically what he learned during those 9 months of silence. I think all of us can testify that there are times in our lives when God takes away things from us so that we depend more upon Him. He may take away certain abilities for a short period of time. He may take away something that's very precious. He may take away eyesight, or He may take away hearing, or He may take away the ability to move about. But God always supplies an extra measure of grace to His children so that they might trust in Him, that they might depend upon Him in a stronger way. And I think this was the testimony of Zacharias as he had his speech and his hearing taken away for 9 months. It was during this time that he came to grips with very important truths about the coming of his own son. Why did God answer their lifelong prayer late in life? Isn't that interesting? They had been praying since they were married that God would give them a child. And here they are past the normal childbearing years, and God gives to them a child. I think if it were me, I would be asking, why, Lord? Why now? We're all up in years now. This is retirement time, not giving birth time. And yet God had a specific plan and a purpose and development. Understand this, please. This is so important. God does not stop dealing with us when we get older. Do I hear an amen? We do not retire from God. Christians continue to grow, and God still works in lives until we breathe our last and we move right into His presence. Absent from the body, present with the Lord. He is working in our hearts and lives all the time. And you and I need to understand that God may choose to do things with you, even in your later years, that you never dreamed or imagined that you might have to do. God would open doors. I was thinking just the other day of the happiest man from Kopiapo. We had a series of articles that we did on Brother George Black. I didn't know Brother George until around 2004 when I got my first letter from him. He had sent me a note. He was a missionary in Chile, and he went when he was in his 60s as a missionary. He knew the Spanish language. He grew up in the Spanish consulate in Spain. His father was an ambassador. And he had learned Spanish, and he became well-versed in that. But he had asked God, he said, Lord, I want to be used of You. And it was not until he reached his 60s that God called him to go to the mission field. And so he went to Chile as a missionary in his 60s, and God used him all the way to 101. We used to get letters from him. I shared a few of them in the projector of how he would write. And he was making plans. In the year that he passed away, he started a new project. He said, I'm going to start a new newspaper to go out to some of these young preachers. Now, when he said young preachers, that was anybody that was under 101 to him. You can imagine that. But he said, we've got some young preachers down here that just don't understand truth and staying right for God. And he said, I want to write to them. He was 100 years old when he undertook that particular project up to the time of his death, just after his 101st birthday. And I couldn't help but think, Lord, help me to be useful as long as I'm able. Help me, Lord, to have it. And if You have something new for me, help me to be open to that. Help me not to shut down operations too soon. Zacharias, in his mind, when the angel appeared to him, he went into default mode and he said, what? Kids, now? And he didn't believe it in his heart, did he? He did not believe the message of the angel. And so the angel says, because you did not believe, I'm going to put you on silent treatment until all of these things come to pass, which in this case would be 9 months. I don't know if he knew all of that. I think he was probably troubled whenever he went to speak. Nothing would come out. And he could not hear. Verse 62 seems to indicate that he was deaf as well because they had to communicate with symbols to him. And yet during that time, during that 9 months, it was not wasted time. What did he do? The Bible indicates to us that he went to the book of Psalms. Because all of the references that we find here in his Benedictus, as it's called, come from the book of Psalms. And we shared some of those verses on Sunday night. And I just want to share one more, and that's from Psalm 18 and verse 2. Psalm 18 and verse 2, from which we get this verse here that we focused on, verse 69, "And hath raised up an horn of salvation for us in the house of His servant David." We find in Psalm 18 and verse 2, "The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high tower." What he learned during those 9 months of silence was the purpose of his son, John the Baptist, but more importantly, the purpose of the coming of the Son of God. And this child that would be born would be his Savior, his Messiah, his deliverer, the mighty horn of salvation. And that's the picture that Zacharias comes away with. And whenever they began to debate about what's the name of the child, who do they go to first? They go to Elizabeth. And they said, "The baby was born, Elizabeth. What's the name of the child?" And Elizabeth says, "John." And all the people start hubbub. "Oh, well, why are they picking John?" Do you know people like that? You know people like that? You know, they've got to say, "What in the world did they name him John for?" And you know why they got upset? Because nobody in their family was named John. All right? That's not a family name. And so they're thinking up all kinds of, "Let's call him Zacharias. Zacharias Jr." Isn't that a great name? And so they said, let's go over to Dad. We think this is a really great name. Let's go over to Dad and ask him. So they went over there and they were making signs and scratching out. And you know what? He wrote down, "His name shall be called what? John." Where did that name come from? That came from the angel that appeared unto him. No unbelief in his heart now, is there? He believed every word. He had seen it unfolded in his silence and in his deafness. And he said, "His name shall be called John." What a picture here. What a time. Zacharias would look back and he got his voice back. He got his hearing back after he had scratched out John's name. And all of that came back. But he will always look back at those 9 months when his heart and mind were saturated with the Psalms. And what did he come away with? He came away with the purpose of the Messiah's coming. Lord willing, we're going to develop this even further next time. But what he's going to come away with is that there's deliverance in two ways. There is, first of all, the deliverance from our sin. He's going to spend a great deal of time. Verse 74 through the end of this song that he sings is going to focus not on national deliverance, though that was something he was going to deal with, not with just national, but individual deliverance from the bondage of sin. And who is going to accomplish that? Look down here, please, verse 78. "Through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the day spring from on high hath visited us." The day spring. What is the day spring? It's the picture of the sun springing up. It's almost like it's one moment it's not there and the next minute it's there. You know how it is early in the morning? Dusk, kind of hard to see. And then all of a sudden the sun springs up over the horizon, and there's the sun. The promise of a new day. That's the picture here that he came away with after 9 months of silence. What are you coming away with at this Christmas time? Are you coming away with a deeper and greater sense of what God did through His Son? Jesus Christ was born of a virgin. There was no option. The incarnation had to happen through a virgin birth, or else it would not have been a day spring. The virgin birth was what allowed Jesus Christ to come without the sin nature, that He might be our Savior. Folks, that's the horizon of glorious truth right there. If He was an ordinary boy, He could not have saved us from our sin. And yet the day spring came through the virgin birth, visited us, and through Him, you and I can have Christmas. True Christmas. Jesus Christ as our Savior and our Redeemer. That's the true meaning of Christmas. It's not all the fluff and all that stuff that we spend so much time on. Again, what does Christmas mean to you? Is there a deeper understanding? Does God need to send silence into your life so that you can come to a deeper understanding and move out of the realm of unbelief into the realm of belief? This was what we find Zacharias doing. Next time we'll look a little bit more at this phrase, the horn of salvation. Such a wonderful phrase. It appears twice in the Old Testament, that phrase, horn of salvation. I read to you Psalm 18 and verse 2. It comes from 2 Samuel chapter 22. After Saul was gone, after the enemies of Israel had been defeated, David begins to sing a song, and 2 Samuel 22 is almost a direct translation or in the same realm as Psalm 18. The horn of salvation. And the picture is this. On the end of that great horn of the wild ox is the dangling carcass of the devil. That's the picture. The horn of salvation. On the end of the horn is the dead carcass of Satan. You say, well, Satan's still alive. I want to tell you something. Jesus Christ dealt with him on the cross. And one of these days, Satan is going to find his ruin because of the work of the cross. Because the day star, the day spring visited. And you and I have hope tonight. Zacharias had to learn that during 9 months of silence. May we not have to go down that same pathway. May we receive by faith the testimony and the song of the Savior that Zacharias could sing. Before he could sing that tune and sing those words, he had to go through a period of time where he was taught in the Word. And I want to encourage you at this Christmas time, spend as much time in God's Word as you can. Saturate your heart and mind, because you know what's going to happen if you don't? The devil will worm his way in, and he will steer you away from the truth of Christmas. And you won't be the effective witness and testimony for him among family and friends, because you'll be spending it all in cultural Christmas and not the true spirit of Christmas. Let's pray. Father in heaven, Lord, we have to do battle with the devil on a daily basis. Lord, how he distorts and pulls us away from the truth of the Word of God. Cultural Christmas abounds all around us. It's everywhere. It's in newspapers. It's on television. It's on the street corners. And Lord, we enjoy this season of the year, but we must never forget the truth of the coming of Jesus Christ, the day spring, to deliver us from our sin. Lord, I pray that you might give us hearts for the truth, that we might take away the testimony of Zacharias in this wonderful song of the Savior. And every verse, except for two, dealt with the coming not of his own son, but of the coming of Jesus Christ, the day spring. Oh, how his heart was filled with praise and adoration that his boy, John the Baptist, would be the forerunner, the one who would pave the way of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we thank you for his testimony, and some 2,000 years after, we are able to sing the same song. Lord, I hope that it means as much to us as it did to Zacharias when he penned these words by inspiration of the Holy Ghost. And we pray that we might sing it at this Christmas time. For we ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. God bless you and good night.